You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hi, I'm Dori Berenstein. Welcome to Deep Dive Broadway, a podcast that takes you inside the creation of Broadway shows. Bob Martin and Chad Begelin are the genius book writers behind Broadway's Prom musical and the upcoming Netflix Prom movie. Chad is also responsible for Prom's lyrics. You also know Bob as the Tony-winning book writer and star of Drowsy Chaperone, and Chad was the book writer for Aladdin. Both Bob and Chad, along with Prom composer Matthew Sklar, created Elf the musical. Full disclosure, as a lead producer of The Prom, I've been in the trenches with Bob and Chad from day one. So it is with total joy to revisit the creation of this spectacular show with two people I admire and adore endlessly. Let's dive in. Welcome.
Thank you.
Excited to be talking to you guys, favorite people. Today we're deep diving into all things Prom, and really fascinated to go back in time to early on, but even earlier, to understand how the two of you came together and what your history is that led you to Prom. So how did the two of you connect?
No, we were working on Elf together. I was brought in, I guess, by Casey Nicklaw,
right?
To read the part of Buddy the Elf during the development process. Not sing it, because I couldn't really sing, but to read it. And I started making suggestions, as I am wont to do, for the book. And then Tom Meehan graciously invited me to come to co-write with him. And that's when I first started working with you guys.
Yeah.
I think we had met before. But.
Probably, yeah. I think we were nominated the same year. Wedding Singer was nominated the same year as Drowsy, and he won my award. So, but Matt and I were writing the score at that point. And then we started talking about wanting to work on something together. And bizarrely enough, Jack Fertel approached Casey Nicholaw with this idea for The Prom. And I don't know if he suggested us or if Casey did, or I'm not sure how.
I'm not sure either. We had written Elf, and it had been, you know, well-received and pretty successful, and we all got along. And so Jack would have been aware of us
right.
as a team.
Yeah, so that's how it...
Yeah, because when Casey called me and said, we have an idea, you guys were fully immersed and on board and had thought, you know, been thinking about it for quite some time, and, you know, we're often running. And when you first heard this idea from Casey about The Prom, and it was just an idea, it was just a few lines, right? Mm-hmm. What was your reaction?
We were really excited about it because it had a lot of truth to it. It had a lot of contemporary politics, a lot of opportunity for satire. And of course, it was a showbiz story as well on top of all of that. And it was just a really well-constructed comic model that had a lot of potential kind of meat in it, satirical fodder in it. So we were really excited. And we both separately and now together have a really nice creative working relationship with Casey. So it was just like we were all eager to work together as a team anyway. So it was the perfect timing from Jack.
So you and Matt and Casey were all working together. Jack passes an idea on to Casey. Casey, you know, turns to you and says, "Let's do this other thing." So kind of as Elf was coming to life, Prom started to take shape. Yeah, and.
Had Elf opened yet?
I think it was the second Broadway version of,
oh,
of
the second Broadway
Elf
version.
That
okay.
we were. I remember being upstairs and playing, Matt and I were playing an opening number for Prom at the Al Hirschfeld Theater in the upper lobby. We were playing it through for Casey and Casey Hushins, his associate. So I'm pretty sure it was the second version of Elf.
So what is it about your creative process together, your collaboration? Talk about how you two work together that makes it so successful.
Well,
It's so hard.
You begin.
Not to.
You begin.
Well, I think the funny thing is, I think we just try and make each other laugh most of the time.
about 80% of the time.
Right.
The rest is crying.
Crying and then drinking. It's funny. I tend to pace. Bob types. I think it's never... I think we really, trust each other. And I think if Bob, if I make a suggestion and Bob doesn't like it, I'm never like, well, you're wrong. I'm like, oh, okay, well, great. Well, what is it? And I think we go back and forth.
Yeah, same way with me.
So it's there's never any sort of, oh, I got one more line in or I got one more joke. It's the exact opposite of that. It's just, really, what do we both think is best? And then bring it to the group and sort of, it's been... This whole process with the prom has been completely otherworldly because there were no fights, there was no tension, there was nobody was, rowing against the canoe. It was just like everybody was, it was a bizarrely wonderful process, which is not normal.
No. In fact, every other process I've had with Casey has really been fraught in one way or another. And there were screaming at one point, but not this one. This one has, apart from the sort of financial side of it, which was very difficult, and really the scheduling side of it, which is sort of true for any Broadway show, but we had a lot of trouble scheduling with this one. Everything else creatively went really, really smoothly. In fact, we outlined the show just in a couple of weeks after talking to Jack and Casey. And really, we have stuck pretty closely to that outline right to the very end.
And just to give it a little context, that was 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, these things take a long time.
Take a long time.
Yeah.
And in fact, on with this particular show, where you started out 8 years ago, the world was a very different place. And
dinosaurs ruled the world.
Basically. Happy dinosaurs.
Happy free-thinking, kind dinosaurs.
Now science comes from witches.
So with that in mind, as you started to create and shape this show, there were moments in time where you really had to rethink and reshape because the world was changing around you and what you were writing would land differently, perhaps in different, different lines, different characters. You want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. The politics changed completely during the development of the show, and there were times when we felt that the show wasn't relevant anymore. And as a matter of fact, the whole climactic scene, when Alyssa comes out to her mother in the show, used to be a speech from Alyssa. Well, actually, in the beginning, it was a speech from Mr. Hawkins about how the world was in a great place and that this particular enclave was behind the times and on the wrong side of history. And then, of course, the whole country shifted to the wrong side of history in many ways. And so the characters within our show had a much more difficult battle, uphill battle, and our show became more relevant than ever. So we had to rewrite quite a bit of it to reflect the politics.
I'm thinking about the first lap was a week after Marriage Equality passed.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing comments from people in our community, this is such a lovely period piece because everything is fine now.
Right.
Yeah.
Sadly, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in writing it is, I have vivid memories of laughing hysterically and being doubled over in the, in a conference room as you guys were throwing out ideas. But also we were on the edge of tears a lot because of the power of the story and that it's personal for so many people in the room. And I know that you guys along the way had a lot of experiences that were emotional, from either from your own life and what you brought to the making of this, as well as to interactions with people in the audience and afterwards. Can you talk about that?
Well, do you want to dive into how we mind your life for the...
For me, especially the song, Just Breathe, that Emma sings in the hallway, definitely was easy for me to relate to because, you know, I was from a small town and gay, and walking down the hallway, you know, heard a lot of hurtful things every day, and sort of how you ignore that and go into your head. And so that was part of it. Also, you know, what Mr. Hawkins says about the town is very parallel to what's unfortunately going on in my town. The coal mine is gone, the factories are gone, and people are scared. And on the lighter side, I also wore aqua blue contacts and a teal bow tie and cummerbund, my prom. So those are a few things that remind.
I've seen pictures.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's funny because it just going back to what you were saying about how it became emotional, I think one of the first times for me was when we had gotten the show up on its feet and Brooks and Caitlin were doing a scene and he cried. And I'd never seen that side of Brooks before. I knew him as a sort of comedian. And I think that's when we all sort of got a little choked up and thought, oh, we can write to this. We can go deeper with their relationship and with his history and how hurt he was and why it matters to him. And I think that was the beginning of it, not just being a raucous comedy, but also having this bigger heart.
Yeah, when when Brooks first performed Barry's Going to the Prom, mm-hmm. everybody was in tears because it was so touching to see someone, you know, a 70-year-old man. No, to see that generation make this statement, which is on the surface of completely absurd, and in Chad's brilliant lyric, it's reflected there. You know, my date is a teenage lesbian, but it doesn't matter. I am going to the prom, and that I'm paraphrasing your lyric. But just the joy and all the emotion that he is expressing in that particular moment, which represents a whole generation of people who could never have conceived of this happening, was very, very powerful. So there were two generations affected by our show, the people of Casey's generation and your generation, I think, who experienced this kind of prejudice really in the front lines, and then the younger people who are looking for the courage to come out to their parents in this contemporary setting. And yeah, there's a lot of truth and power in the show, and we were all feeling it throughout the whole process.
That song is so powerful, and it's so joyous at the same time. I race to the theater to stand in the back to watch that number. What Brooks does with it, and the twirling, and the,
right,
know, yeah, and what Josh exuberant. Lehman does with it as well.
Yes.
Who you know understudies Brooks.
Yeah.
He personalizes it in his own way as well, and it's just as moving. You know, there's so much truth in that, in the idea of the song, mm-hmm. in the idea behind the song, in the lyric, and just in the personal experiences of the actors, you know, performing it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
When you were writing the lyrics to that, where was that coming from?
I think I can answer that question.
No, it was really me thinking, you know, because I think the same age as Brooks, and, you know, what would that be like? Because, you know, when I was in high school, that was just, you would get completely beaten up, and you know, it would be it was just unthinkable. And just the idea of somebody who always felt, you know, bitter about that, and suddenly, oh my God, it's happening. And it seems like it says in the lyric, it seems like such a, you know, it shouldn't matter, but somehow it does, you know. And I think the idea was to never go sort of maudlin or sad, but to just be like, oh my God, this is finally happening. I think that's sort of where it all came from, and just his excitement about something that seems small but is so important to him.
And I'm thinking also about that moment in Atlanta where the woman grabbed your arm. That's an incredible story.
The woman never touched me.
Oh, see, over time, it's been embellished.
Yeah, okay. She kissed me hard on the lips. No, it was at a talk back. And she approached me. She had clearly gone through, she waited until after the talk back, and she was very emotional. And she really seemed to be full of shame. That's what it looked like when she was approaching me. And she talked about how she was Mrs. Green. She said, she confessed it to me. She said, I was that person. And she said, this is an important show. You have to do this show. And I said, oh. And then she took me out into the lobby without touching me and introduced me to her daughter and her daughter's now wife and their child. And so it was just this little portrait of a family that had gone through so much. And you know, and she personally had overcome her fears and prejudices, and they had created this really beautiful family unit who then all came to see our show, wow. You know, which was a reflection of their life experience. It was such a powerful moment. That's the thing when you're doing a show that you know will take 8 years, it's, you know, that you're going to be thinking about this material for 8 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that we chose a show that still has personal resonance for all of us, as opposed to just doing some cynical adaptation of something for money. You know, yeah. Money's great, but at my age anyway, I'm trying to choose things that mean something to me and to other people, I think. So that moment in Atlanta was like, oh, great. Okay, well, we made the right choice. No matter what happens, people are going to be affected by this show, and you know.
It's funny, just a few days ago, somebody posted to my Facebook page and Matt's Facebook page this long, I think it was Instagram or Twitter or whatever it was. No, it must have been Instagram. But it was about this guy who loves our show and was online at TKTS and got four different families to buy tickets, so we love him. But there was this one family from the Midwest somewhere, Minnesota or something like that. But and their son was 18. And at intermission, sort of came back to their group and was kind of standing there and just, you could tell he wanted to say something, but he couldn't. And so at the end of the show, they were in a couple rows ahead of them, and they were laughing and crying. The parents and the kid were laughing and crying, and he just turned around and he just said, I'm gay, thank you, without the parents hearing. And they just burst into tears, and it's just, you could tell it was the first time he'd said that. And
wow.
So it's just amazing that, you know, you're going to see a Broadway show and then all of a sudden you're able to own your truth to a stranger. Like, it's just,
yeah.
Stories like that just really still get me.
Caitlin and Izzy tell a story about how they were at the stage, they're often at the stage door, and kids come up to them and say, the show has given me the courage to come out. I haven't done it yet, but my mom is right over there, and I took her to see the show, and I'm going to tell her tonight.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's just like, it's just so powerful to hear that.
Yeah.
And beautiful,
yeah.
You know, what you guys have created and the impact it's having on lives.
The weird thing is we got a lot of similar stories on Elf, which was just so weird.
What? There's a surprising number of people who were raised by elves. I was surprised anyway. the end game was always that this be done in schools. And recently we talked to, I guess it was Sklar and I, talked to a group of educators from across the country. And that was really interesting because they were very excited about it. They loved the show. They had just seen the show the previous night. But someone from I guess it was the South. I can't remember the state, but she said, would it be possible to change certain things in the show? Because I want the show to be done in our, you know, school system, but I know we have a limited budget, and I know when, you know, certain things come up, the show will be rejected, and there will be nothing I can do to make it happen. And that sparked a really interesting conversation in the room, because pretty well everyone said, no, nothing can be changed about the show. You can't. If you're not ready to do the show, then you can't do the show. But it also makes you wonder exactly what elements they're talking about. And she was referring to the kiss at the end, which is ridiculous. You couldn't do the show without the kiss.
Hey, right. It's been on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. But I also think the song,
Love Thy Neighbor,
is problematic for some communities. And I can understand why that would be problematic specifically. And that's, again, that's such a deeply rooted cultural thing that if you're not comfortable with the statement that there are things in the Bible that are archaic and out of date, and that it's wrong to cherry pick these rules.
Yeah.
If you can't deal with that statement, then you really shouldn't be staging our show. There are larger problems that you have to be dealing with. The kiss, however, it seems so fundamental to the show, so important. The show would be ridiculous without ending with that kiss, first of all.
Yeah.
And if you can't, I mean, I it's hard for me to wrap my head around why people would be upset if they like the show and they understand those characters and sympathize with them. Why that particular act would be so upsetting for people is kind of beyond me.
Well, it was really incredible, I think, with the Macy's Parade. Everyone from Macy's and NBC went in eyes wide open, knowing that there would be huge pushback.
Right.
And there was. As well as an overwhelming amount of support. The majority, by far, of course, was supportive, but that there is that element, and that kiss just was a lot to deal with in some communities. And so, you know, hopefully with time, with the show being on tour all over the country, with the movie coming out, that will become less of an issue.
Well, who knows how much of an issue it is. It's like when you read reviews for something, on Amazon. A bad review for something. Who is going to write a good review for a product that they're satisfied with, right? There's a small subset of people that will write all the horrible things on social media. So the pushback that happened, I mean, what percentage of the population does that really represent? The vast majority of comments were positive and thankful and excited and lots of hearts and rainbows and stars and everything. And then there was a very small number of horrible things.
Yeah.
But they were horrible. And, you know, as a result of those comments, we had to have a police presence at the theater and everything like that.
That's right.
But I don't think it's an accurate representation of the way that the country thinks.
No, and I think that shows like The Prom will help make that number smaller and smaller and smaller.
This has been part one of Deep Dive Broadway with Bob Martin and Chad Beglin. Please join us for part two.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.